There you go. That sounds good. That sounds like a good plan. Okay, so last time we really introduced the topic of...
Are you recording?
I'm recording. Okay. And I'm on airplane mode, so hopefully it won't get interrupted.
I'll get
to trade, yeah. There you go. So last time we started the topic of Ksuba, Mida Oraisa, Mida Rabbanam. We discussed the various components of what a Ksuba is, that document, what does it consist of, the different components. And we looked at three Gemaras that discussed this topic and gave us four issues that actually hinge on the question of whether Ksuba is Mida Oraisa, whether it's biblical in nature, or Mida Rabbanan. We saw four issues that hinge on this. And that we really just laid down the basic background, the framework for the Ksugya, which we're really going to begin examining tonight. So if you look at the top of page 3, we'll just give us a quick summary. Top of page 3 in the new source packets, which I think everyone has. Summary of the various nafkaminos, the various issues that hinge on this question of whether Ksuba is Midarais or Midarabanan. First, which currency? Case where they marry in place X and divorce in place Y. We saw the Mishnah in Ksubos and Daf Kuf Yodam and Beis, which talks about a case where they got married in Eretz Yisrael, divorced in Kaput Kaya, which is this other place. So if Ksuba is Midarais, the Gemara said, then you use the currency of the place of marriage. They got married in a certain place. That's what he committed to give her. You use the currency of the place of marriage. If Ksuba is Midarabanan, the Rabbanan say, look, we instituted this thing because we want the woman to have protection, but we also recognize that perhaps the husband is not going to have so much money either. So they cut him a break and they say, give him the lesser currency. You have to give her 200 of some currency because we want to make sure that she has protection, but we'll cut you a break and you have to give the lesser currency. Yes?
I have a question. Ksuba is written for 200 shekels.
Right. So no, you're 100% right. If the currency is no. If the currency is stipulated in the ksuba, then there's no question. The question, as the Rishonim point out, the Chachamim said if they established the ksuba that even if he didn't write one, let's say he's a shyster, he's trying to get out of it. The Chachamim imposed an obligation for him to pay the ksuba anyway. But obviously, if they didn't write one, there's ambiguity. Or let's say that they wrote a ksuba, but they didn't specify which currency it is. Then they go by the lesser currency. But you're 100% right. If it stipulates zakukin or shkalim or dollars or whatever the case may be, obviously he's obligated.
Why would you have it in shkalim as a Torah's number?
Good. We'll get to that question. That's a question that the Balei Tosfos raised. It's a good question.
Why do it in a currency which can vary in value up and down?
Right. You're saying why not do
in a commodity? In a gold, silver.
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily, as we know, gold, as much as it's a commodity, also fluctuates in value. I don't know if that's the best stable, that's not the most stable thing either. I mean, no, if you're talking about food for a year, okay, fine, then you're talking subsistence already, but obviously that could be very subjective as well. So, yeah, I mean, that's a standard problem that you have in any monetary system, right? What if just the spending power of whatever you're using changes, and that's true whether it's a currency, whether it's gold, whether it's silver. But for simplicity, you know, we're using a currency. And we said that's the first issue that will hinge on whether Ksuba is Midarais or Midarabanan. Issue number 2. Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. They get married. The man comes the next day and says she wasn't a virgin. Do we believe him or do we not? If Ksuba is the Oraisa, the Baal is not believed to take away her Ksuba. The husband is not believed to make her lose her Ksuba. He is believed to create a prohibition. That's called Shavya Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura. But he's not believed to make her lose her ksuba. If ksuba is midirabanan, the Baal is believed to take away her ksuba. We said, chazakam inodim toreach besuda umafsida. The Chachamim assume that he's not going to make all the wedding preparations and then just get rid of her. The assumption is that he's obviously committed to the relationship. And
if,
I'm sorry? We discussed that Mechavera Lavaraya last time, and whether it's upon her or him. That's a discussion in the Rishonim, right? In this case, she's claiming money from him. Then she presents her shtar ksuba. So you would say that she gets it. But then he's claiming the shtar is invalid. So how do you understand that case? So I don't want to get into that issue now. It's a discussion in the Rishonim. The Ramban discusses it. The Ran has an interesting comment about it. Let's keep things simple on that account right now. If ksuba is midarabanan, he's believed to take away her ksuba. Issue number 3, from what does she collect? If ksuba is midaraisa, presumably the beinonis, right? The middle crop, like most chiyuvim. I mean, different chiyuvim you collect from different areas. It depends if it's nezikin or different areas. But let's say the beinonis, for simplicity, ksuba derabanan, She's going to collect from the Ziboris because for rabbinic obligations, you collect from the lesser crop. As we noted, that's not going to make a difference in terms of the monetary value. The monetary value is going to be the same. It's just a matter of, do you have to take a lot of the lesser quality material or less of the better quality material? It's going to be the same value. It's just a question of how annoying it is to sell it. So that was issue number three. And finally, number four, can you detract from the Demei Ksuba? Let's say they make an agreement. She says, look, let's get married. I recognize that you don't have so much money. So how about we make an agreement between us? We'll get married. But in the event of divorce, you only have to pay me 100 instead of 200. And we saw that according to Rabbi Meir, if you hold ksubam is mida oraisa, then you cannot detract from the ksuba. Rabbi Meir had a very strong lashon of kolaboel, kolapoes menasuba geboel be'ila znus. He called it like znus. We'll have to assess why he calls it znus and what the ramifications of that are. But if ksubas mida rabbanon, Rabbi Meir said, then yeah, then they can make that arrangement, they can make that agreement. Those are the four nafkaminas that we saw last week. Now,
one thing about if he dies, the yarshimers have to pay the ksuba.
Right.
So, would that be
Yorshim?
Yorshim.
Yarshiners. Right.
Yeah, Yarshim. Would that make a difference if it's the rice of the Rabbanan? Because you're now, you're for. It would seem it's the Rabbanan because now the Rabbanan want her not to be.
What do you mean? They have to pay it either way. Whether it's the rice of the Rabbanan, they have to pay.
But it's only on the husband. So the husband's dead. So
well, if he's
dead. No. Either way, they'd have to pay.
Still obligated to pay.
It's. To protect her in the event of death or divorce. That's the whole point of the ksuba.
Yes, but death?
Yeah, that's, she receives, she receives the man, In the event of the man dies, she's now an almana, she receives the ksuba. It's death or divorce. And we've been using divorce because that's the case where he's paying it, but, right, death or divorce.
On this detraction, is this at the beginning of the ksuba, or is this at the end when she wants to collect?
So she, they write, what they effectively do is they write up a normal ksuba. And then she says, mea mana. Out of the 200, I already accepted 100. So did she really receive it? No, but she's saying it's as if I received 100 of the ksuba. That's the structure that's discussed in the Gemara in Ksuba Staf Nun Vav. Can she say to him, or at least write to him, saying and writing is different in this case, but can she write to him, I received 100, and he would only be obligated to pay the remainder? That's the question there. Fine. Straightforward. Gemara's four issues hinge on Ksuba D'Oraisa, Ksuba D'Rabbanan. But as we said, the Rambam is going to make things interesting for us. So let's begin to take a look at the position of the Rambam. Let's see what he has to say about this issue. Source number five. So again, we'll have to see. There are going to be obviously a number of Rambams because, as we saw, there are a number of issues that pertain to this broader conceptual question. So let's see how the Rambam paskins these various issues. Source number five. Source number five relates to nafkamina number one. Which currency do you use? Says the Rambam. V'chein mikulei ksuba, one of the leniencies of a ksuba, shetitol ha'isha ksubasa min ha'pachos shebimatbeos, that the woman receives her ksuba from the lesser of the two currencies. What would that imply if we look at issue number one in the summary of nafkaminas? That ksuba is midirabanan, right? Ketzad. Nasa isha b'makom, v'girsha b'makom acher, you get married in Eretz Yisrael, and you get divorced in Kaput Kaya. Im hayu ma'os, mekom ha'nisuin, tovos, mi ma'os, mekom ha'gerishin, nosin la mi ma'os, mekom ha'gerishin. Okay, if the ones from the place of divorce are the lesser currency, use those. Im hayu ma'os, mekom ha'gerishin, tovos, mi ma'os, mekom ha'nisuin, nosin la mi ma'os, mekom ha'nisuin. And the opposite is true as well. Basically, again, exactly the case that we constructed on the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud. So far, the Rambam very straightforward, adopting the position that ksuba is midirabanan, use the lesser currency. Okay?
Why is this any different than the case of Ziboris or not?
Is Ziboris?
Yeah.
No, because by Ziboris, like I said, it's not a question of how much you're giving her.
It says that it's not a question of how much you're either. It's just talking about what currency you pay.
In other words, there is a big difference. Let's say it's a question is dollars or shkolim. There's a big difference between $200 and 200 shkolim, right?
Paying her in the form.
No, but again, what 200 are you using? It's not just a question of which currency are you using. That actually does get into Morty's question. Morty's question was, if ksuba is de oraisa, then you should just use shkolim like we do with Chol Torah Kula.
But don't you see this? I mean, you have the same machlokas when you use Ziboris. You said multiple times, use the same amount of money, just the questions of how you give it.
Correct. By currency, that is not the issue.
You see that from the rabbi?
The Rambam's passing the Gemara. The Gemara is, I mean, it's very clear. The Rambam is passing the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that you use 200. The question is 200 of what? You're right. I mean, just from this passage, could you have theoretically read it otherwise? Yeah, but I don't think anyone reads the Rambam that way.
So it's not 200 of value in one currency.
Against
200 pieces of whatever that currency is. It can be off by 1,000%.
Right, 100%. I mean, that's why there's a very large discrepancy in Chanami.
I mean,
it's a big, yeah.
She can get nothing at the end of the
what?
Day.
What?
She can get nothing at the end of the day.
No, she's going to get something.
It's 200 of some, you know...
Yen.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if the Gemara was assuming the massive discrepancies in units then that we have.
The same question about the fungibility of the property also. And if she's in Kapadoria and she's here, does she get 200 amos of land there or 200 amos of land?
Generally, Iksuba is not written in terms of amos land. Of land, right. It's written in terms of a currency.
Yeah, but don't you see that's the same issue if you're in a different place? If you
Well, because land could be valued differently in different places.
Of course.
Of course. That's what I was telling Stan before. You're always going to have a fungibility issue. Whenever you're dealing with monetary issues, Stan's like, why don't we use gold or silver? But gold or silver is also...
You're using fungibility in real estate. In real estate, you say, we're giving them 200 zuzim, no matter where the land is. You're not having the same...
By the Yidus and Ziboris, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. That's just the question. Again, the first question is... How much is he receiving? That's a very substantive issue. How, right, how much, like you said, that can make a massive difference in terms of how much she's actually receiving. The second one, she's receiving that amount, right? The question is, what are we paying it with? Right. Right. I mean, like, we stipulate in our ksubas 200 zakukin, whatever a zakuk is. Right, this is a case where they didn't stipulate for whatever reason. Like we said, it will depend on where you are. What's up, Arthur?
I'm just wondering, in every currency, there's small denomination.
Right, so that's an interesting question that I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, obviously, it's not 200 cents.
Currency doesn't make a difference because even though it's a pain in the neck, you take it to the bank, you get your money.
No. What Arthur's saying is there are cents and there are dollars. Is it 200 cents or $200?
What do you mean?
It's the standard.
Right. What's
the standard?
I don't know.
What are we talking about now?
Again, we're dealing with 200 units of currency. So Arthur's saying within a country's currency, there are different units. There are cents, there are dollars, there are $100 bills too. Maybe it's 200, $100 bills. It's not really so clear. I mean, the assumption in the Gemara was, the Gemara itself talks about all sorts of different currencies that were used within a single monetary system, right? You had a dinar and a pruta and a sella and an isar ha'italki, these Italian coins that they would use. So... That I'm not really sure about. I don't really know.
That's not really the issue, so I guess we can move on.
Yeah, that's a little Misa question. It's not the conceptual issue, but it's an interesting question. I don't know what the answer to that would be. I would assume it's like the primary currency.
I don't know where you can find the Zuckuk on the exchange.
Let's skip to source 7.
Excuse me, Rabbi. It's interesting to say primary currency.
Yeah.
There are countries that don't have currencies.
Like
other countries' currencies.
It's true. So yeah, again, if this issue were to ever come up, which it won't because we all stipulate in our ksuba exactly how much it is, you're right. These would be fascinating questions, and I don't know how Poskim would deal with it. Presumably, if you went to what countries use the dollar?
Bahamian.
Well, yeah, but...
It's international currency.
Well, if it's bitcoins, you know.
Bitcoins, yeah, there you go. No, you go to a country that really uses somebody else's currency. Like, there are some countries... Panama uses dollars.
Yes.
Okay, fine. So I'd have to assume that it would be dollars. That's really what I would assume. But it's an interesting question that you're raising. It's like, if this would ever come up, Poskim would have to raise all sorts of interesting issues. Insofar as our discussion is a conceptual one, right, that's not the material issue for us right now. Source 7. In Source 7, the Rambam Poskim's issue number 2. Ishus Perakit Aleph Halachi Yudalad. Chachamim Heim Shetiknu Ikar Ksuba Leisha. Here the Rambam says it straight out. Right? Chachamim Heim Shetiknu Ikar Ksuba Leisha. Who designated that the woman should receive this amount? The Chachamim, they wanted to protect the woman. They're the ones who made this Ikar Ksuba. And what does he say? V'heim hitkinu v'amru. They also said, shekol atoin tainas besulim v'ha'isha makcheshes oso ne'aman. That if he claims ta'anas besulim, he claims that she was not a virgin, and she contradicts him, he is believed. Now keep in mind, the Mishnah also says that if she says, you're right, I'm not a virgin, but... it was rape, ne'anasti. Or she says, you're right, I'm not a virgin, but I was a mukaseitz. It was because of, I don't know, it was horseback riding or something like that, okay? Then she's actually believed. But if she says it's not true, it's not true, if she just denies it outright, he is believed. And she's the one who has to bring a proof, not the man. Why? It's interesting, the Rambam adds, we assume that a person who's preparing for a wedding is not just going to reverse his wedding into this sad occurrence, bitter separation, after spending all the time and money and effort preparing a wedding to marry this woman. Yeah, I think it's a fair assumption. Yeah, it's a chazaka. Chazaka means an operating assumption. But yeah, absolutely. So again, on case two.
Don't have a chazaka of.
Sorry? They do.
So her chazaka against his chazaka.
Yeah, so that may be why on a d'oraisa level this chazaka is not sufficient to make her lose her ksuba, right? It's only sufficient on a d'rabbanan level. Only if ksuba is d'rabbanan do we say chazaka in the torah pesudim mafsida. But the chezkas pesulim, this gets into complicated issues. What happens when one kind of chazaka hits another kind of chazaka? This is a major sugya in Maseches Ksubas. I'm forgetting the daf number. I think it's Nun Aleph. Or Ayin Aleph. I think. I'm not sure about that. I think that's what it is. But like, what happens when you have a chazaka of... a cheskas haguf versus a cheskas mama. Or a chazaka... One famous example, very quickly, is like, what happens when you have a lot of kalim that you put into a mikvah, right? And you knew that the mikvah was kosher at point T, and at point T1, the mikvah is not kosher. It doesn't have enough volume to be kosher. So you have a lot of chazakos competing with each other in this case, right? You have a chazaka de me'ikara. We have a general chazaka that if something was full, if the mikvah was full, it remains full. And we assume that until the moment that we knew it wasn't full, it was full. Then there's also something called a chazaka de hashta, that we project backwards from a certain status, that if we know something is true now, we project backwards until... So you have those two competing chazakas. Then you have the chazaka that the kalim that were placed in the mikvah were b'cheskas tameh. Right? They were tameh. So what do you do when you have all sorts of competing chazakas? It's a very complicated sugya in Ksubas, in the seventh parak. But for now, we'll just say that the chazaka works on the d'rabbanan level, not on the d'oraisa level. So again, the Rambam is taking a clear stance on the second of our four nafkaminas, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Ne'eman, and here the Rambam explicates why is it the case, because Heim Hitkinu, they were the ones who, Heim Shetiknu Iker Ksuba La'isha, they were the ones who said that she gets the Ksuba in the first place, namely Ksuba is Midrabbanan. Source 6, let's go back to source 6, okay?
Seems you get to that point of sources now.
What? What? It's Midrabbanan, right?
It's, I mean, there may be certain features that are different, but it's
That's what you think, okay?
I know that. Okay.
Source six. Rambam Isha's Perek Tazayin Halacha Gimel. Kvar hodanu shechachamim tiknu ksuba l'isha. We already told you that the chachamim are the ones who made the ksuba. Where did he already say that? In Perek Yud Aleph, in source 7, which we just saw, okay? He says, I already told you that the chachamim were the ones who made the ksuba. V'din ha-toseves k'din ha-ikr. Okay, then he talks about the Toseves Ksuba, let's skip to the second underline, V'chein hitkinu, she'im hayal ba'al sados tovos, v'ra'os, u'beinonios. Right, that's what we would call idis, and beinonis, and ziboris. If he has high quality fields, middle quality fields, and low quality fields, u'ba'aha isha ligvos ksubasa mimenu, and the woman comes to collect her ksuba from one of the fields, shelo tigve, shetigva elamin, she collects, again, this case, it's not a question of the amount, it's just a question of what she collects from. The Rambam says she collects from the least of the currency, like chobos, like all chobos midrabanan, okay? Because indeed, again, the Rambam is consistent once again in asserting that this is a chob midrabanan. Throughout the first three nafkaminas, the Rambam is consistent, chob midrabanan, and he paskins everything as we would expect him to. Fine. Then just a couple of other cases where the Rambam reiterates this again in source 8. If you turn to page 4, okay? The Rambam there defines what a ksuba is. talks about the Ikar Ksuba and the Tosefes Ksuba, the stuff that we discussed last week, the basic core requirement of 200 to a Besula, 100 to an Almana or a Gerusha.
According to Rambam, if you got married without a Ksuba, you would be...
Yeah, you'd be obligated to pay 200 if she was never married before. If she was married before, you'd pay 100. It's not Baal Tosef. In other words, you have a concept. Well, that's, if you remember last week, well, hold on, slow down. Baal Tosef, it probably would not fit the halachic definition of Baal Tosef anyway. In other words, maybe, I can't imagine anyone would say that's Baal Tosef. Baal Tosef is adding a fifth parsha to tefillin, adding one of the fifth minim. Here you're increasing the amount of the ksuba. Putting extra strings on tzitzis would also be included. That would also be Baal Tosef. But okay, so let's go. Let's take a step back here. First of all, is ksuba d'oraisa. Second of all, even if ksuba is mi d'oraisa, okay, does the Torah definitely, as we will see in the Rishonim, definitely does not stipulate 200, right? The amount is not stipulated by the Torah. The din of four batim of tefillin is a din d'oraisa. Third of all, now, in you might be right, sort of, insofar, I wouldn't say it's definitely not Baal Tosef, but insofar, if you remember last week, I mentioned that the Ran and Tosfos, it's not direct in Tosfos. The Ran is the only one who addresses this issue directly. The question is, do you have to say 200 plus 500, 200 plus 1,000, 200 plus 2,000, or can you just write straight up 2,200? So that's Machlokas Rishonim. The Ran says you can. Some want to be medayik and Tosos. Again, Tosos don't explicitly address the issue head on, but some want to be medayik and Tosos that you cannot. So it wouldn't. I don't think anyone would tell you it's about Tosef.
Tosos, because probably, as you said, Ksuba doesn't tell you the number.
Right. Exactly. So I'm very confident that it's not it's definitely not about Tosef. But some Rishonim are still averse to the practice of adding to the Ikar amount. Keep the 200 like it is. Keep that 200, and then add 2,000. The diak and Tosos is that there's a Gemara that says that. For a Bas Kohen, they would make it 400.
Right.
And the Gemara and Tosos say, and the Gemara says, oh, they were okay with that because it's a Bas Kohen. And Tosos imply that the reason why they were okay with turning 200 into 400 was because it's a Bas Kohen, but otherwise they wouldn't. This is what Tosos imply, but you don't have to read Tosos this way. But
Susan, I always thought that when it comes to the Limonos, no matter what the Raisin is, people have the right to move about.
Correct. That's sort of. That's a concept.
Less than truma, can you can't give 9% of
truma? No. But that's not mammon. That's isur.
Okay.
There is a concept of masna al mashak hasa b'torah b'tanai davar shem mammon to na'o kayim, which is what you're referencing. We actually saw that last week. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We never pass like Rabbi Meir. I mean, not never, but as a general rule, whenever Rabbi Meir has a machlokes with somebody else, we pass against Rabbi Meir. At the same time, Rabbi Meir is considered the stam author of any Mishnah. So anytime you have a stam Mishnah, it's Rabbi Meir. But whenever we see a machlokas between Tanoim, unless there's some compelling reason to say that we paskin like Rabbi Meir, we almost always paskin against him. So in this case, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Tanai davar shem mammon tana'o kayam. At the same time, that's specifically if you make the Tanai. In other words, let's, just to give the classic example of this, the Gemara in Makos on Daf Gimel says, let's say, I want to lend you money, Nathan, but I know Shemitah's coming in 7 years, and I want the loan to last for a lot longer than that. So I can say, Al menashe lo tishpateini b'shvias, I can make that Tanai, and it works. So even without a prizbul, I can say, Al menashe lo tishpateini b'shvias. The Ritva asks, what's the purpose of a prizbul if I just have this Tanai? Fine. Different discussion, not for now. But... I can say Al Menashe Lo Tishpateini B'Shvias. That being said, if I never made that stipulation, I certainly can't collect the money after Shemitah is over. Right? There are still halachos governing Dinei Mamonos that I have to abide by. I can make certain stipulations to get around them, but in the absence of those stipulations, I'm still bound by the Torah's rules.
Nobody says that maybe the ksuba is doraisa, but the money. When it says here, Chacham Tiknu Lahem Menashe Shirul B'Suba Masayim. It's only talking about the money.
No, nobody says that for ksuba derabanan, but again, you're sticking with a certain Tosfos. It happens to be your question before and now are both within a certain Tosfos, which is great, but let's hold off. We'll get to Tosfos. So again, just at the end of source 8, that's where the Rambam is introducing this concept of ksuba, right? It's at the beginning of Perek Yud, I think. Yeah, Perek Yud Halacha Zayin, that's where the Rambam is introducing the concept of ksuba. And if you look at the underline at the very end, on at the top of page 4, v'chachamim shetiknu ksuba l'isha, k'dei shelo tiyya kala be'enav lehotziya. That's a very important line, which we're going to have to come back to. It's a line that's based on the Gemara in Ksubas and Tafyud, our Gemara. But the Chachamim gave her a Ksuba so that it wouldn't be easy for him to just get rid of her. There's a famous Yerushalmi. It's not so famous, but it's a good Yerushalmi, which says, Lo yichid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemo begerushin ela b'Yisrael. God, like, was yichid Shemo. Very interesting language. That, like, he gave some special gift to Am Yisrael through divorce. What that means is, like, not for now, but it contrasts it with the divorce for Bnei Noach. There's a machlokas in that Yerushalmi, what constitutes halachic divorce for non-Jews. And as Rav Buchanan would say, it's either kamo ha-Muslim, Islamim, it's either like the Muslims or kamo ha-Notrim. They either hold that he just throws her out, and that's sufficient, or there's no divorce whatsoever, like the Catholic doctrine. Those are the two deos in the Yerushalmi. But for Bnei Yisrael, there's this concept of get, there's a formal procedure, and Chachamim wanted to further discourage divorce, make sure that she has a certain protection, k'dei shelo tehiya kala be'enav lehotziya. He can't just get rid of her because there's a financial obligation as well. We'll have to talk about whether that's just a strict technical, he won't be able to divorce her because now he has to pay, or that's trying to say something perhaps broader about what the Chachamim are aspiring for in Ishus. And again, the Rambam in source 9, Hakonis is a Ishav lo kosav lo ksuba. This is what we were talking about before. What if he didn't write her a ksuba? Osha kosav avet shtar a ksuba, or she lost the ksuba, osha mach lo ksuba lebayla, or she was mocheles, she foregoes the debt that's owed to her. Osha machra lo ksubasa, or she sold her ksuba to him. Chozav kosav lo ikr ksuba imratza lekaima. If he wants to stay married to her, what must he do in any of these circumstances? He must write a new ksuba. Okay? If she lost it, if it was never written, in any of these circumstances, he has to write her a new ksuba. Lefisha asr lo la'adam lishos im ishto afilu sha'a achas b'lo ksuba. You cannot live with your wife even one moment without a ksuba. This is why I was saying it's important for a woman to know where her ksuba is. And if you don't, you got to write a new one very quickly, which is not really hard. I mean, you could get one in Z Berman for like $2 and write a new one, but it's important that you do so.
But it's mashmash deraisa then, because the rabbanim, you know, if it's deraisa, then you're not permitted.
No. I think the language here is strong, which is good. I think it will fit into our larger perspective of Mishitas HaRambam. But it certainly can still be derabanan. There could be an Isser derabanan. There could be an Isser derabanan to live with your wife, right?
But to grant, let's say you have to write a ksuba.
Actually, I read it as one derabanan and deraisa, but okay.
We'll see. Yeah.
What if the facts that you have to fill in are not consistent with what really happened? You're not sure.
That's an issue also. I think I told you guys last week. There are like cases when like the Sadduk Yudushin will realize that that they wrote the wrong, they wrote Brooklyn and it's really not in Brooklyn or whatever. They wrote this date and they realized it was after Shkia or not. I told you, the case that I heard, which was a crazy case, I don't even remember which Rav it was. It was his first time being Masadar Kiddushin and, you know, he got through the chuppah, he was very happy, they're in the Yichud room. And one of the Edei Ksuba comes over to him and says, oh, it was so nice being able to sign on my cousin's Ksuba. So that's a problem because there's a Psul Karov, right? No, there's a real story. I don't remember who it was.
Really, really, really expensive ksuba done by an artist, really big and everything like that.
And they messed it up.
And she spelled Cedar was wrong. Right? Pelkowitz made us do the whole...
This was you at your chasna?
My chasna. Not the chasna. It was pre-chasna. We showed him the ktuba because it was like a big work of art. This artist has some in the Jewish museum.
Right.
And she was giving us the ksuba as our wedding gift.
Oh my gosh.
And we didn't know what to do because it was right before did she fill in the address before? Could it have been done before?
She could, if she knew where you were getting married, she could have.
Yeah, so it was in Sephardic Temple and she wrote Cedars and there was something wrong in the spelling of Cedars or something and Rep. Elkwitz made us do it again. It was such a
tough. Oh my gosh. You can still hang it on the wall, nobody knows.
I don't know if she took it back, I guess.
Wow.
A gift.
Yeah, we didn't get a...
How do you spell names that are not Jewish names? So
it's a big question. You have to ask in advance. There's a major kuntres in the Beis Shmuel about different names. This was actually Lamaisa for me, because as you know, my grandfather died when my parents were very young. My father was very young. And no one knew how to spell his name. So they asked my Uncle Meyer, who was a big Talmud Chacham. He was a Talmud of Rav Moshe. What? Henoch.
Oh, Henoch.
How do you spell the name Henoch? So he was a Talmud of Rav Moshe. So I assume what happened was he looked in the Beis Shmuel.
The way the, your grandmother's brother.
This is my grandmother's brother, exactly. Right, exactly. And then he moved to Pesach later. So there are three ways of spelling Henoch. Either Hey, Ayin, Nun, Aleph Chaf, Vav Chaf, or Yud Chaf. Three different ways of spelling it. So nobody knew which way my grandfather spelled it. They looked in... So they asked him. I wasn't there. I assume what happened was... No, this was for the tombstone. They didn't know what to put on the tombstone. This is for the tombstone. So he looked in the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel has a Vav. They put a Vav on the tombstone. That's how I spelled my name for many, many years. So hold on, the story gets more exciting. Then we found my grandfather's Haggadah after many years with his handwritten name in it, and it was Hey Ayin Nun Aleph Chaf. Wow. Yeah. So nobody thought, nobody changed the Matzeva. We left the Matzeva how it is, but I now spell my name with Hey Ayin Nun Aleph Chaf. Ever since we learned that, I changed the spelling of my name. I'm sorry? Exactly. Right.
That's an accepted spelling?
Yeah, there are three accepted spellings of Henoch. If you ask, yeah, the Alexander Chassidim. I don't know if that's our. We have Chassidish of blood. Keep it quiet. But I don't know if it's from Alexander. But yeah, the Alexander Rebbe was. I talk about Henoch Leibowitz. Henoch Leibowitz was also Henoch. But so when I got married. So when I was getting married, I asked Rav Rosenzweig what I should do, and he said, just the new way you write it in your svarim is the way you should spell it on the ksuba. So that's what I did. And that's what my cousin did also when he got married soon afterwards, 6 months later, because we all have the same name. We're all named after my grandfather. And that's the story. The Beis Shmuel writes it in the context of Hilchos Gerushin, because there it's much more important to get everything right. Ksuba is important, but with a get, then you're dealing with
names, nicknames and all the things.
He has a whole list of names and how to spell them. It's like a whole all the different spellings.
What?
Maybe this, maybe that. No, generally you want one spelling.
You usually write, let's say, you have a nickname, Bob and Robert. Yeah, Mechuna,
Bashem, sometimes you have that.
The name that was on the Kasura?
I'm sorry?
On the get, you would only have a name from the Kasura, not nicknames.
No, sometimes they'll put like Hamechuna B'Shem. I don't know all the. I haven't been through all those halachos. It's like a Yadin Yadin topic, but it's key to get there. It's really key to get the right name, because then if she wants to subsequently remarry, you could have a real problem.
So you give it
three gets. There you go. There you go. Perfect. There you go. Exactly. So how did we get into that? We're talking about names on a ksuba. Oh yeah, so in that case, they ran to the yichud room. They had to knock on the door. You have to have that ksuba in order to continue living together. When we moved from one apartment to another, I told my wife, make sure that you know exactly where the ksuba is and that it doesn't get lost in the shuffle.
It's called safety deposit box.
Yeah, there you go. From Washington Heights, local city. That would be a very interesting Shiloh.
What?
You took a picture on your iPhone and you had it.
That
would be a really interesting shaila. That gets into
the
whole. I'll ask Rav Wolick. That's a really interesting question. That gets into the whole question of the halachic status of pictures, digital stuff. Very interesting. I'd have to imagine you'd still have to write a new one, but like at least b'shas atchak, would that help?
You know what?
I wonder.
It says because of lost sefer krisos.
That's a get. No. Nobody holds that you could hand her a smartphone or send her a text message and divorce her, right? No, for a get, you need a safer, exactly like you're saying. The question is for a ksuba, just to live together. Yes, I don't know. I'm. It's an interesting shiloh.
I mean, you could be in one state and it could be in another state. You don't have to take it with you on vacation.
She has to know where it. She has to know. Right. Correct. She has to know where it is. It has to be accessible. If she calls someone and says, pick it up from X, I think that you're right. You don't have to carry it with you when you go, I don't know, to Israel on vacation or whatever. But
I thought it always says if there's a fire in the house, she tells everyone, take the gold, take the silver, and
the ksuba. Right, there you go.
Gold and silver's not gonna be bad. Menachem, you know Menachem Lipin?
Yes, I know Menachem Lipin.
There was a fire in his house.
Really?
He had a glass ksuba.
Uh-huh.
And was written, and the fireman hosed it down. It just was like letters.
I'm not following.
The letters got all washed away.
Right? Oh, so you had to have a new one written. Right, there you go. All right, not the worst. I mean, hopefully everybody, I mean, everyone was safe and, yeah.
$2.
Chai Adam had a fire in his house. He writes about it at the end of the Sefer. He says that it's the simon that he talks about, this is totally off topic, but the simon that he writes about establishing like a personal day of Thanksgiving for a community or for a family when a nace happened. And he says, I'll tell you a personal story, the Chai Adam says. There's a fire in his house, and he goes through like the details, and like a pillar fell and it hit his wife. His wife fell on the floor, she lost some teeth, like some of her teeth fell out, and there was pandemonium. But in the end, everybody got out safely, Baruch Hashem, everybody was safe, and from that day forward, he had a special Yom Tov, commemorating that day that his family was saved. It's like an interesting, sometimes, you know, when you throw in a little bit of those personal stories every now and then, even about the Rishonim, like, it just kind of reminds you that they're not just Svarim, they were people, yeah, they were people too. In any event. Yeah, or scary moments, you know, or moments of salvation as well. So, Source 9, the Rambam says that in any of these cases, you have to write a new ksuba. However, this is the fourth line after the period. Third line. Aval hamocheres ksubasa la'achirim b'tovas ana ein tzorach l'tov l'ksuba acheres. But if she sells her ksuba to somebody else, then you don't have to write her a new ksuba. Why? Why? The purpose of a ksuba is that he can't just get rid of her. Now, if he has to pay the money, regardless of who he has to pay it to, even if she sold her ksuba years ago to somebody else, okay, he doesn't have to write a new one because it serves the purpose of lotia kala ba'inav lotia. He'd still have to pay money if he divorced her. He's not going to be quick to divorce her. He's going to try to make sure that any problems in their marriage work out. Etc. Again, basically, in short, you have a number of places where the Rambam says explicitly that the Chachamim were the ones who were metaking ksuba, and he paskins at least the first three of our four nafkamina, our four cases that hinge on this issue. The Rambam paskins as we would expect him to.
You know what? Something sounds to me like this. You're going to laugh at me, but we always say Ezra metaken Shmon Esrei on Tefillah.
Right.
But if you go to the Gemaras, there's always it was a chiyuv midoraisa to daven, but the form of how it was created, Shmon Esrei, Ezra was metaken.
It's machlokes rishonim. The Rambam holds that Tefillah is doraisa on a daily basis. The Ramban holds Tefillah.
Let's go to Rambam, let's say.
Okay. The Rambam holds Tefillah to Doraisa.
We use the Lashon of Metaken, but yet it was a Chiyuv Doraisa that existed first, and then it was Metaken by the Rabbanan. So if you don't daven Shmon Esrei, you're probably going to Rambam over Nisa Doraisa, and you're Ezra also, probably Nisa Rabbanan too, because Ezra's Metaken for quite a
right, no, right. The,
I'm just thinking about the Lashon Metaken now, the way the Rambam
says. Right, similar to what Morty was saying before in terms of the number. But we often have, when we talk about a takana de Rabbanan, right? We talk about a takana, we're usually talking about something that they're Rabbanan in most cases.
Created.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
In most cases, yeah. Takana de Rabbanan. Right. We'll see that Lashon of takana is going to be very important for our analysis. The way it's used in the Gemara. Pesach Hashem will get back to that. I don't know if this week or next week. But we'll talk about the Lashon of takana, because that's a very important language in our context. There are different types of rabbinic decrees. There are takanos, there are gzeros. Gzera is something that's used to uphold a deoraisa. So there's a concern that you'll violate a deoraisa, they make a gzera that you can't do X. There's a concern that if you ride a horse on Shabbat, like, you know, there's a prohibition of uprooting a living plant on Shabbos. There's a gzera, you shouldn't ride a horse lest you be riding across something and just pull something off. So that's a gzera. And there might be differences in terms of their halachic status. We have a concept of based in Okrin Dover Min HaTorah B'Shev Al Taisa. So I think it's the Taz who says that there might be differences in that regard between takanos and gzeros. That their power may expand more in takanos than gzeros. I think that's what the Taz says, but I could be getting it backwards, and I might be messing up some of the details, but I think that's the Taz. And then there are kenosos, and there are kenosos derabanan, right? Kenos is the concept of penalty. So we'll see that the Gemara kind of waffles in terms of what exactly ksuba is, and that could be very important for us. But let's for a moment take a look at the rest of the Rambams, because obviously until now, I've only been giving you one side of the Rambam. And those are the Rambams that clearly express in explicit language that ksuba is midrabanan, and again, the Rambam follows through with all the nafkaminas as we would expect him to. But the Rambam does not end there. Source 10 is the Rambam Hilchos Ishus Perak Yudbeis Halachos Vav through Ches. Let's take it from the top. Halacha Vav. Hisne HaBa'al, and Nathan, this is going to get back to something that you were pointing out earlier. Hisne HaBa'al Shalo Yischayev Be'echad Min HaDvarim Shehu Chayev Bahen. The Baal, a man proposes to a wife, or he marries her, but he stipulates that he doesn't want to do all the things that he's technically obligated to do by the halacha. Or she stipulates, all the things that I would be doing for you, I'm not going to do, right? So the Baal is obligated to pay for her mizono, she'er k'sos ve'ona, which according to the Rambam, al midoraisa, he stipulates that he doesn't want to do one of them. Rambam says, hatanai kayam, it works. She stipulates, I don't want to do something for you, I'm supposed to be doing certain things for you, I don't want to do it, it works. Chutz miz shlosh advarim she'en hatanai mo'el bahen. Except for three things where the tanai does not work. And anybody who makes a tanai on these things, his tanai is batel. Ve'eluhin, onasa, ikar ksubasa, v'yirushasa. Ona, the obligation to spend intimate time with one's wife. That's an obligation from the man to wife. Ikar ksubasa, that's obviously the key one for us, to pay her ksuba. And Yerushasa, that she inherits, when he dies, she inherits him. He can't make a tanai on that. Now, each of these is interesting in their own right, particularly Yerusha, the Rambam has some...
When he dies?
What?
You said when he dies?
Right.
She inherits him? No.
No.
The son's inherits.
Yerusha, right, correct, I'm sorry. That he should inherit her. No. Yes, correct, I apologize. Can't make a tanai on that either. Because the Rambam says chukas mishpat, it's a chok, chukas mishpat. So we're not going to focus on all three, but let's at least go through ona and ksuba. Ksuba is our real focus, but ona is a quick one. So halacha zayin, ketzad, hisne im ha'isha she'ein la alav ona tna'o batel b'chayev be'onasa. If he stipulates, I'll marry you, but don't expect me to spend intimate time with you. To know about that doesn't work, and he's obligated to nonetheless provide ona for his wife. Sheharei hisne al mashakasav b'Torah, and then keywords, this is for you, Nathan, ve'eino t'nai mamon, because he's stipulating on something that's obligated by the Torah, everybody agrees that at least ona is mida orai. So there's machlokas as to which of the obligations, there are many obligations that a husband has towards his wife. Everybody agrees that ona is de oraisa. There's machlokas about the others. There's maybe is providing her mizonos de oraisa or de rabbanon. So there are different positions on that issue. There are three different positions. But everybody agrees that ona is de oraisa. So the Rambam is saying it's masna al mashakasa batorah. You're making a tanai to get out of a biblical obligation. And it's not a davar sheba mamon. As we said, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if it's a monetary matter, you are allowed to make those stipulations. I can stipulate that I'll lend you money on condition that Shemitah doesn't get rid of the loan. But if it's not a monetary obligation, like an obligation to provide, spend intimate time with one's wife, that's not a monetary obligation. And because it's not a monetary obligation, you can't make any stipulations on it. Okay? Then we come to Halacha Ches. Hisne ima lifchos me ikar ksuba.
But your ona does have monetary considerations.
In what sense?
No,
that's not a... Right, so the Gemara in the fifth paragraph of Ksubas talks about how often you're obligated, a person's obligated to do ona, but that's not a monetary issue, it's a question of how often you're home.
Okay.
Right? The gamolim, these camel drivers, or the...
It
depends on different things. The primary consideration in that Mishnah, that's... My daf numbers are weak tonight. Was that Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, something like that? You're not taking a stance on the issue? Somewhere in that area of Ksubas. Oh no, it's later. It's Sam Chalf. Maybe.
Okay, so that's okay.
Maybe. But that's
time-bound.
Yeah, that's not a monetary thing. That's mostly... Now, there is a discussion of what happens if... Can an Isha be mochelas? Can she allow her husband to go away to make more money? So there seems to be a steer between Gemaras. There's one Gemara that says that she's rotza, yeser, bebaila, then with like a lot of money. But then there's another Gemara that says that they would go away to work for the king and the king would pay them well. So Tosa says it depends. If they're only making enough money to give them, I don't know, an Acura, then they're not mochel. If it's enough to buy a Porsche, then it's enough. That's what Tosas are.
I meant to say that it's a little consideration.
Right, but it's not a.
It's not a key factor.
Halacha chas, his na'ima lifchos me ikar ksuba. He made a condition to take away from the ikar ksuba. What is that case? That is exactly the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We saw that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's take a step back. We saw that, let's work within Rabbi Meir for a moment. Within Rabbi Meir, what did the Gemara say? If ksuba is mide oraisa, then the Tanai doesn't work, and there's no problem with him stipulating that, right? Let's go back for a second to page 3, number 4. If ksuba is mide oraisa, then the Tanai doesn't work.
Right.
If ksuba is mide rabbanan, I'm sorry. If,
yeah, you said it right. If the ksuba is midoraisa, you can't contract for the make ksuba, right?
No, I think I got this wrong, actually. I think I got this backwards. Can you detract from the make ksuba? What did the Gemara say? Let's go back for a moment. Ksuba stuff in Vav. If Rabbi Yehuda holds that ksuba is mida oraisa, then it's bi'ilas nos.
Right.
Right? That's what I meant by that. I actually phrased that poorly, because the reason why it's bi'ilas nos according to Rabbi Meir is because the Tanai doesn't work, and he's trying to trick her. He's trying to tell her that you're going to receive less, but really she's entitled to more. So, in other words, Rabbi Meir holds that if ksuba is mida oraisa, it's bi'ilas nos. If ksuba is mida rabbanan, it is not bi'ilas nos. And the Tanai should work. Says the Rambam, his na'ima lipchos me ikar ksuba. He made it tonight to take away from her ikar ksuba. Osha kozav la masayim omeya ikar ksuba. Because valosha niskabla mehen kach v'kach, mehilo niskabla. Right. She says to him, I accepted 100. This is exactly the case in the Gemara Daphne and Vav. She says to him, I accepted 100, but she never really accepted it. Now again, let's just work this out one more time. If ksuba's midi rabbanan according to Rabbi Meir, then the Tanai works, and it's not be'ilas nos. If ksuba is mida oraisa, the Tanai does not work, and it is be'ilas nos. Look at what the Rambam says. Tano batel. The Rambam says the Tanai is batel, which is the position of what? Ksuba? De oraisa.
What's the issue about her accepting it?
That's the case in the Gemara. This is her way of lessening the amount of the ksuba. She says, it's as if I received it. But she never really did. That's the case in the Gemara.
Oh, she's accepting it.
Right.
They're making it tonight.
Rabbi Meir said, if ksuba is mida oraisa, then the Tanai doesn't work, and it's bi'ilas nos.
Right.
If ksuba is mida rabbanan, then the Tanai does work, and it's not bi'ilas nos. So what would we expect the Rambam to say? The Rambam told us a million times, ksuba is
mida
rabbanan. We would expect the Tanai to work, and it wouldn't be bi'ilas nos. The Rambam says, tno batel. The Tanai doesn't work. And look at what he says next. Shekol apoches lebesula mimasayim ula almana mana mimana harezu beilas zunos. Comes the Rambam after telling us time after time after time that ksuba is midrabana. And when it comes to this fourth nafkamina, this fourth issue, okay, all of a sudden he flips and he paskins like Rabbi Meir. He paskins like the position of Rabbi Meir, which hinges on what? Ksuba midaraisa. Stranger still, let's look back at the Gemara for a second. Look back at the Gemara for a second. In source 4 on page 2. Starting with the second paragraph, right? Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Apoches. So the Gemara says, Kol Apoches Afilu B'Tana'a. If he makes it less with a Tanai, it's still is no good. Alma kasavar, what does he hold? Tana'o batel v'isla, that the Tanai is batel, and she receives her ksuva. V'kivan da'amar la leis lech, elamana lo samcha daita, because he's telling her that you only have 100, when she really has 200, okay? Therefore, it's lo samcha daita, v'havila be'ilaso be'ilasnos. In other words, what the Gemara says as follows. The Tanai doesn't work, and because the Tanai doesn't work, it is considered be'ilasnos. What's the causation? The Tanai doesn't work, and therefore, it's be'ilasnos. Look at how the Rambam formulates it.
The Rambam says it's violation of the
Ksuba. Tanai batel. Look at how the Rambam formulates it. Tanai batel. Why is the Tanai batel? Shekol hapochis lebesulo mimasayim almana mimana harezu be'ilasnos. The Tanai is batel because it's nus. The Gemara said,
the Tanai is batel,
therefore it's nus. The Rambam is saying it's nus, and therefore the Tanai is batel. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Meir Ksuba d'Oraisa, which already doesn't work with Shitas HaRambam, okay? A. B, he reverses the causality, right, the causal relationship between the two factors. The Gemara said, it's batel, and therefore it's nus. The Rambam is saying it's nus, and therefore the Tanai is batel. Problem number two. Problem number three, which is perhaps most striking, is that, like we said before, how do we paskin on Tanai?
It doesn't travel this first time. So, all those three, he holds a different process? I mean...
No. The first, what those, some of them are obvious. Ono, we expect, right? Ono, because it's not a davar sheva mamon. Yerusha, the Rambam, actually happens to have a sui generis shita, but it's not for us right now. He has this, like, chukas mishpat idea. Fine. The R issue is ksuba. The Rambam, the Gemara says explicitly
it's
that
it's a different formulation of why on why the when he takes away from the ksuba than the other two. There are three separate reasons for making the Tanai batel, and therefore does work on these three separate.
Again, by Ona, it's because it's not a davar sheva mamon. You can't say that by ksuba, right?
Each one has a different mechanism.
Yeah, exactly. By Yerusha, it's because it says chukas mishpat. So the Rambam says even though it's really monetary issues, we treat it like Isur. That relates to broader Yerusha perspectives. Is Yerusha just a way to distribute the guy's funds? Or is it some kind of continued legacy of the individual? So that might be a difference between Yerusha of Jews versus non-Jews. That's Suba. And the Rambam says that the Tanai is no good because it's Be'ilas Nus. Very strange. Very, very strange. And to make matters even worse, this whole discussion of the Gemara was within whose position? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the one who holds that if masna mashakasa batorah, bitnai davashab mammon, that you can't, then what? You cannot stipulate on monetary matters. How do we paskin machol torah kula? The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can stipulate on davashab mammon. So this whole conversation should be a non starter. The whole conversation of the Gemara was within Shitas Rabbi Meir. So the Rambam, like, abandons his general psak like Rabbi Yehuda and accepts Rabbi Meir. Then he abandons his general position of Ksuba Midarabanan and says Ksuba Midaraisa. And then third, the Rambam reverses the causality of the Gemara to make this new idea that seems to be his own, that the lack of Tanai rests on the fact that it's Be'ilasness. So obviously we're going to have to explain that Rambam. Obviously we're not going to have enough time this evening. But I think my Rebbe, Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Rosenzweig Shlita, has a fantastic article on this topic, which we'll continue to go through. I have like 1 minute left, so maybe let's just see at least one of the other sources where the Rambam implies that it's Midaraisa. Look at source 11. This is the Koteret Lehilchos Ishus. The way the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, his magnum opus, is called the Yad HaChazakah. There are 14 books. Each book is divided up into different sets of halachos, okay? So you have a Sefer called Sefer Nashim, Book of Women, okay? What does that divide up into? It's about interpersonal relationships. So it has Hilchos Ishus, the laws of getting married, Hilchos Gerushin, the laws of getting divorced, Hilchos Yibum Bachalitza, the laws of Yibum and Chalitza, etc., etc. At the beginning of every section, the Rambam has a little introduction where he tells you what the mitzvos are that appear in that section. Okay? So look at verse 11. Hilchos Ishus, Yesh Bechlolan Arba Mitzvos, Shtei Mitzvos Haseh, Shtei Mitzvos Lo Saaseh. There are two mitzvos haseh, two obligations, and two prohibitions. Zehu pratan, aleph. What is number one? Lisa isha b'ksuba v'kidushin. To get married with what? Ksuba v'kidushin. What's strange about that? Kiyushin's Oraisa. If Ksuvas mean the Rabbanan, the order is interesting, that's true. But more directly pertaining to our issue, if Ksuvas mean the Rabbanan, how can you say that the mitzvah is, in almost all cases, there's one exception, but in almost all cases, the Rambam only counts mitzvahs de Oraisa. How can you tell me that the mitzvah de Oraisa is to get married with Ksuba, the Kiddushin? You just told me that Ksuba means the Rabbanan. Next one, Isser. Shaloti ba'el isha below Ksuba v'kiddushin. Again, there's an Isser of Kadesha. Lo yeh kadesh b'vnei Yisrael. Lo yeh kadesha b'vnos Yisrael. That she should not have any form of sexual relationship without Ksuba v'kiddushin. Again, the Rambam, you told me a million times that Ksuba's midar abanan. How can you now all of a sudden reverse course and tell me that the mitzvah de Oraisa is to get married with Ksuba v'kiddushin? The Aveira de Oraisa is to have that relationship without Ksuba v'kiddushin. The Rambam reverses course. We'll see more examples of this. We're out of time, but we'll see more examples of this Be'ez Hashem next week, and we'll begin to hopefully develop a resolution for Shitas HaRambam.